Hallelujah. Father, speak to us this morning and change our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Please let's be seated in his presence. First announcement as we go into the word is that we are having our week of spiritual emphasis from the 24th to the 26th of April. So during the week of spiritual emphasis, we take 3 days out of that week to fast and to pray for our lives. And to fast and to pray for growth in our lives. And it's unfortunate that a lot of you were not here on Friday. But God gave us a very important teaching this Friday about why you should fast. The importance of fasting. Amen. But before I go any further, I'd like us to acknowledge the presence of Shepherd Joe in our midst this morning. Can you stand up? Hallelujah. He's here this morning. You are welcome, sir. And I also see on the other side our beautiful sister, Sister Ontatile. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. She's been with us, and it's a blessing to see you, my sister. God bless you. Amen. I hope I'm not omitting anybody. You know, when you start acknowledging people, you get yourself into serious troubles. Amen. But you guys are welcome. Amen. Help me welcome the person next to you. Tell them, Pastor didn't forget you. It's just that you understand. You understand. It's one of those. Amen. Our week of spiritual emphasis, meaning we are putting an emphasis on spirituality. Amen. If you've been in this church for a while, I teach that life is spiritual. And living is spiritual. So, to have a successful life, you need to be a spiritual person. And I'm actually happy that I'm teaching on the Holy Spirit. Because, you see, let me not go ahead of myself. But from the 24th to the 26th, 24th is a Wednesday. 25th, payday, is a Thursday. And 26th is a Friday. That is our grand finale where we meet here. It's our night of encounter. Amen. My heart is yearning and is really grieving, so to say, for my people. Because I realize more and more that my people have different types of sufferings. It's not just the lack of knowledge sometimes. Other times it's evil spirits. You know, like things that you think is just happening to you normally, but there's nothing normal about what is happening to you. There's a lot of spiritual activity going on behind the scene for you to be where you are and for you to see things going the way they are going. So I'm really trusting God that we're going to start emphasizing on spirituality. So please mark those dates. Let's meet here every evening. We fast from 6 a.m. until 6 p.m. You can drink juice, 100% juice, for those of you that are not very strong yet in the thing. Or can drink water. If the rubber hits the road too hard, you can have an apple, a banana, something like that. But decide to really only eat properly in the evening after you return from prayer. Can we do that? Yes. And let's come here and let's build our spirits. You will never regret that investment. I can assure you of that. Praise the Lord. And the second announcement is that if you are a cell leader in this church, please, as soon as the service is over and we help the people find transport and stuff, don't go away, because I just want to share a quick training with all the cell leaders of Kalayan. It will take about 25 to 30 minutes. It won't be long. It's not a long training. But I just want to engage the cell leaders quickly so that we can do better this coming week. Amen? Then after the cell leaders and the assistants, obviously, I would like to also, after that quick meeting with the cell leaders, I'm going to be meeting anyone that feels they have a gift of singing. If you feel that God gave you a gift of singing and Ala Babe Church is not really taking you seriously, I have come to say that I'm taking you seriously. Me, I want to take you seriously. Praise the Lord. So please, if you have a gift of singing, or you think you have one, I get it, there's a program, so you think you can sing, you think you can dance. Maybe you are just thinking that. I think I sang one time during a funeral and people started crying, so I realized that. Yeah, there's a flow. Praise God. So I'd like to see us, you know, so that we can start talking. Amen. Because I believe that, look, I want you to come here on Sunday morning and to really feel that you are in the United States somewhere. Like you are somewhere in Los Angeles, like somewhere in Manhattan, or you are somewhere in Memphis. You understand? Like you are somewhere. You are not here. You are not here. It's just when you come out and start seeing the goats, then you say, hey, by the way, get lead that fella. But for that few minutes that you will come here, God will sow a dream in your spirit. Hallelujah. So we want to build a mega church. We want to build a church that will bring glory to Jesus. And we can do that together. All of us. All of us will put our minds together. We use our gifts. And you will see what God will do through our lives. Amen. So please get involved. Get involved. Get involved. And then of course I'm seeing the dancing stars. Didn't you enjoy our beautiful dancing stars? Wow. Please clap properly for our dancing stars. What a blessing. What a blessing. So after my quick meeting with the singers, I'll be seeing the dancing stars. Please don't worry. If you need transport, we'll make sure you go home. Amen. And you'll not go home late. It will be just quick meetings. And then we're going to go home. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for your word. Minister to us today. Help us. Precious Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Have your way in us. Reveal yourself to us. It is difficult to teach about you because you are the one empowering us to teach everything we teach. But you can reveal yourself through these limited words that I will be using this morning to talk about you. I don't even qualify to talk about you because you can talk about yourself. But I pray that this morning, through me and the little that I know about you so far, you will help our people to grow in their knowledge of you. Because it really makes a difference to know you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come with me to the book of 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. I also would like to acknowledge the ministry of my lovely wife, LP Pumi, this morning. I think it was fantastic. That this woman is anointed. Yo. I forgive all my closer people for everything because there's been too much coming from there. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless. And may He continue anointing you. I really enjoy your ministry. You know, when you come to church late, you've missed a very important part of the service. Lady Pastor Pumi ministers through music. Yeah. I feel so blessed. I'm not saying this because she's my wife. In fact, I was saying to myself, hey, ABC is blessed. So, you know, imagine if this woman was in another church. You guys must thank me that I married her. You understand? Like I married her. Eh? You must thank me. Sometimes you must just send me gifts. He said, thank you for marrying Pastor Pumi because it's because of me marrying her that you are enjoying the ministry. Hey, you must thank me. Praise the Lord. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Hallelujah. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Let's look at what the Bible says. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, let's go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to read it again a little bit louder. Can we do that? 1, 2, 3, let's go. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this is actually the grace as we know it. So, we're actually going to add this to our day Sunday grace. And all that. This is the grace. Do you get it? This is actually the grace. You understand? So we will always start with this. Then we'll go to the other ones that we have. Any grace somewhere, we're going to bring it in. So that everything there, we have it. Now, the Bible says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. So those three things are supposed to be with all of us, not with some of us. Look at it. The grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says all these must be with how many of us? Those three forces must be. May God strengthen you in Jesus' name. All these three must be with all of us. Now, there's nothing God asks you to have just for fun. If God is saying that something must be with you, there's something about that thing he's saying should be with you. There's something very important about it. You might not at that time understand what it is. But with time, you will discover that God was right. If the grace was with me, this wasn't going to happen to me. And if the love of God was with me, this wasn't going to happen to me. And if the communion of the Holy Spirit was with me, maybe I could have avoided this problem. I pray for you this morning that may these three mighty forces start finding expression in your life in Jesus' name. Now, let's tackle them one by one quickly. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody here, if you are on your way to heaven, could say they don't know what is the grace of God. Our very presence in this building this morning is a proof that we have encountered the grace of God. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 8 to 9, look at it. For it is by grace you have been saved. I was talking this morning about what did you do for you to be where you are. You see now, there's nothing you did basically. We are here by the grace of God. Hallelujah. The Bible says it is by grace. By grace. Thank you. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. In other words, the only thing you needed to do to be saved, you needed to believe. You just needed to believe. Believe in what? Believe in the finished work of Jesus, or believe in Jesus Christ. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. Brother, that's all it takes to be saved. The Bible goes on to say, this is not from yourselves. So salvation is not the result of anything you have done per se. You don't get saved because, you know, in the NBS, we talk about 20 things that are not the same as being born again. How many of you can remember some of them? Yes? Going to church. Praying every day. Which other one? Yes? Reading the Bible every day. Yes? Wearing church uniform. Yes? Being friends with the pastor. Another one? Growing up in a Christian home. Another one? Having good manners. You don't steal, you don't smoke, you don't drink. You'll be surprised. People think that because they have good manners, they are going to heaven. Hey, yeah, they say, no, me, I don't do bad things. I don't cheat people. It's good to have good manners, but no good manner will take you to salvation. The Bible says it is not from yourselves. It is not from yourself. So your good manners cannot take you to heaven. Coming to church doesn't take you to heaven, except if coming to church gives you an opportunity to believe in Jesus Christ. That is the only thing that will take you to heaven. A young man went to see a man of God years ago, and I said to the man of God, I don't want to go to hell. What must I do? This guy said to the young man, pray Holy Mary. How many times? 3 times. Pray Holy Mary, pray for us. 3 times. And then pray what else? Pray our Father. No, pray our Father once. And Hail Mary 3 times, our Father once. What type of calamity is this? He told the young man, if you want to go to heaven when you die, pray our Father once a day and pray Hail Mary 3 times a day. Now he says that one day he went swimming and he went to the wrong part of the ocean. Do you get it? Then he saw that he's about to die. He says, started praying Hail Mary with the speed of light. And our Father, the man can pray our Father in less than a second. He finishes the whole thing. And I say, he learned that thing that day when he was about to die. So later he read the Bible and he realized that by grace we are saved. It is not by praying Hail Mary. It is not by wearing church uniform. Especially the one, the pure white one. Is it the white? Is it the white one? With the blue thing or the red thing or the yellow thing or the green thing or the maroon thing. Or the, listen, you are just looking nice. You are just looking nice on a Sunday morning. But it is not meaning that you are going to heaven. Oh, you don't like the message again. It doesn't mean that you are going to heaven. You are just wearing a nice church uniform. I've seen many South African artists doing music videos wearing army attack. Does that make that they're soldiers, these guys? Like if war starts now, they will come and save us. That you are wearing something doesn't mean anything. In my country, people steal traffic cop attires. And they go and corner a street somewhere where they wear the thing and they stop cars and they start collecting money from people. Then later you discover he was not even a traffic cop. He's your neighbor somewhere. Praise God. I said, wearing uniform, just say that, you know, we want to look. I don't know. I don't even know the philosophy behind it, to be honest. But I'm just saying, it cannot mean that you are saved. Because salvation does not come from ourselves. Look at it. By grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Hallelujah. God has given you a gift. Salvation is a gift. That's why the heart of God bleeds when he sees people going to hell. Meanwhile, he gave them a gift. They don't need to go to hell. Nobody needs to go to hell. Because the gift is there. It's available. Then you people, your gift is in my, I keep forgetting, you see. Because I think your gift is it's in my office. Not by works, so that no one can boast. If we were saved by works, meaning by the things I accomplish, there was going to be a lot of pride in us. We were feeling that, no, me, I did better than her. I need the better part of heaven. We cannot be in the same area in heaven, please. The type of things I've done for the church and the types of things I've done, I mean, I'm a virgin. Do you understand what that means? So please. I can't go around with people that have been around. So it will be now that because you are this, you deserve this. Thank God, salvation is not by works. It's not because of this or because of that. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. It's the gift of God. God has chosen to save everybody. Yes, you see, if this thing was by works, Africa will be disadvantaged. Just like in, I mean, look at every other place. If you take technology, disadvantage. Politics, disadvantage. Anything, you are still disadvantaged. So if salvation was by works, hey, very few Africans would be in heaven. Thank God it's not by works. It's by grace. And that's why when you go to heaven, you find a lot of us there. In fact, for some reasons, we are flowing with this thing actually now more than everybody else. We are flowing. Praise the Lord. So the grace of our Lord Jesus has encountered all of us. I want to encourage you this morning by the grace of God. Don't feel left out. Don't feel, I'm a very bad person. Pastor, I don't think God can take me. After the things I've done, I don't think God can. Listen to me. This thing is not by works. It's not based on what you've done or what you didn't do. It's by the grace of God. It's a gift. If you have to work for the gift, then it wasn't a gift. A gift is something that is given you. You just have to do what? Receive it. You just receive a gift. So we receive Jesus in our heart as our personal Lord and Savior. There's nothing else God expects us to do. He just received my son. He went and did all the hard work. Now, it is free to us, but it was very expensive to God. Salvation is free to man, but it costs God everything. It costs heaven everything. So don't take it for granted. The Bible says we should not neglect such a great salvation. Praise the Lord. The second thing we see is the love of God. Say with me, God loves me. God loves me. A lot of us have also experienced the love of God. In the book of Romans 5 verse 8, the Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the greatest. Anybody here that is wondering, does God love me? Does God love me? And the reason you are asking, does God love you? Because maybe you don't have a job. I'm saying, does God love me? Because I don't have a job. If God really loved me, I've been applying for the past 3 years. Nothing has come. Does God really love me? Praise the Lord. The Bible says, God demonstrates his love for us. In this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. That's the greatest proof that God loves you. The fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Why is that the greatest proof that God loves you? Because there's nothing you can do about your sin, my brother. There's nothing you can do about your sins. So if Jesus didn't die for your sins, we're going to all roast in hell. All of us. Humanity was doomed. That's why when Jesus came, died on the cross, he went to hell. Yes. To preach. Because he needed to be fair. All these people that are in hell went to hell without knowing him. They didn't have a chance. So that's why when he died, he went there and preached to them so that they can have a chance. That chance will never repeat itself because Jesus has already come. But the people that were there at that time had that opportunity to see him and to accept him in their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Then he did a second thing. He asked for the keys of death from Satan. Satan lost the keys. That day there was a big wrestling match in hell, and at that time I think even the fire reduced because God wanted everybody to see the fight that is going on. God, for that minute, he reduced the fire just so that the people can at least enjoy the wrestling match. Hallelujah. Amen. Then I see Jesus did like this too. Hey. Satan is doing like this. Hallelujah. Through the blood of Jesus. Satan was defeated. And when he was defeated, Jesus says, Ari, give the keys. Give the keys. Until Jesus went to hell, Satan was ruling because he had the keys of death in his hands. Once you are in his hands, you are finished. You are finished. He had the keys of death in his hands. So once he gets you in there, there's nothing that can get you because he has the keys. So Jesus, knowing that even though his children will die physically, he will need all of them to rise. He needed a key so that he can open and at the rapture, all of us start rising up. Start rising up. Start rising up. So death will not hold us bound. Anybody that is dead now in Christ is just sleeping. Jesus has the keys of death. He will just open, chuck, and then you will come out. Praise the Lord. That's why you really need to give your heart to Jesus. You really need to surrender your life to Jesus. Because he alone has the keys of death in his hands. Praise the name of Jesus. Now, oh, there you go. I am he who lives. And I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He says, I am he who lives. I was dead. You see that 3 days when he died. But then I'm alive. He came out of the grave. Forevermore. And I have the keys of hell. Hades is for hell. I have the keys of hell and death. So Satan has lost everything. Even the place where he is saying that he is reigning, the keys are with somebody else. How can you say this is my house, but somebody else has the keys of your house? This is why Jesus went to hell. Jesus went to hell to take the keys. It's over. Game over. So you are asked, okay, so what is Satan is using ignorance. He uses the fact that you don't know that he doesn't have what he had. He uses that to continue manipulating people. That's all he does. A lot of you didn't even know that Jesus now has the keys of hell. I mean, give the King James of this for them to see that he's actually talking about hell. Go and they see Hades. There you go. I have what? The keys of hell and death. He has them. Praise the Lord. Please clap for Jesus properly this morning. He is a conqueror. He is a victor. He is the greatest one. Jesus conquered death. Jesus conquered hell. And he has the keys in his hands. That is the Savior we are serving. The Savior that has the keys. I mean, which other religious leader can say, I have the keys of death? Which other religious leader do you know that can say, I was dead, but now I'm alive? Which other one? I hope that the person you are following can match this standard. But this is very high. This is a higher level. He died when they beat everybody. Took the keys and he has them in his hands. Has the keys. Praise the Lord. Take your seat in his presence. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15. The Bible says this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. That was Paul. Paul was saying that he was a chief sinner. You see, this is what it takes for God to help you. You need to admit you are bad. You need to acknowledge something is wrong with me. I mean, if Paul says he's a chief sinner, and we know that Paul was quite a good guy, and Paul is a chief sinner, now, how about you and me? Some of you here are general. I mean, I'm a general sinner.
superintendent senior, general manager, CEO senior, like we will be a higher level because sin has increased. Some of you will be master degree, like a PhD, doctorate, masters, professor. I mean, he was just a chief. Today we have arch chiefs. Praise the Lord. Thank God for the grace of Jesus. Hallelujah. And thank God for the love of God. You see how those two things have helped us. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the third thing. Go back to 2 Corinthians 13, 14. Or was it 1 Corinthians? 2 Corinthians. Look at it again with me. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I just spoke about now. The love of God, which I also just spoke about. Now look at the third one. The communion of the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, this is where all the confusions usually starts. When it comes to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we don't seem to have a problem. When it comes to the love of God, we seem to understand. When you start talking about the communion of the Holy Spirit, then it becomes a bit confusing. People don't know, what are you talking about? How many of you understand? Like, grace, I understand. Love, I understand. Communion of the Holy Spirit? What do you mean? Now, not having that last one is very bad for us, as I'm going to show you now, because this is the one that is currently active. Genesis to Malachi, you will hear about the Lord God. The Lord God. The Lord God. Almighty God. It's basically God the Father. Genesis to Malachi. It's God the Father. And God said, and God did, and God, and God, and God, and God. You hear about God the Father. Genesis to Malachi. As soon as you move to Matthew, down to John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You hear about Jesus, the Son. The Son, the Son, the Son, the Son. And Jesus did, and Jesus did, and Jesus did, and Jesus did. As soon as you jump out of John and you enter Acts, you are introduced to another person, the Holy Spirit. And ever since the book of Acts until now, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. God the Father was operating with man from Genesis to Malachi. Even though man couldn't see him, but he started talking to Abraham. Abraham believed, and Abraham started following him, even though he never saw him. Then, God the Son, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews chapter 1, I think verse 2, that he is the exact representation of the Father. Jesus came as the exact representation of who God is, but he came in the flesh so you can touch, see, Matthew to John. Then Jesus told us, I will send another comforter that he should be with you forever. Then he introduced the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. And then he told us, do not go anywhere, stay in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Then he says that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you and you shall be this. So he introduced the Holy Spirit as the third dispensation. So if you go back to 2 Corinthians, you see that you had the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God. Those have already happened. Do you understand? Then the communion of the Holy Spirit is where we are now. The part of God that is on earth now is not God the Father. It's not God the Son. It's God the Holy Spirit. So if you want to do well in this time we are in, we are not in the time of Moses. In the time of Moses, though all the three were there, but the one that was very active, and the voice of the Lord came, and the voice of the Lord, and God said, and God, you were hearing the Father more. Then during the times of Jesus, you stop hearing more about the Father, you start hearing about the Son. And after Jesus went to heaven, he introduced the third one, the Holy Spirit. So for you to do well as a Christian in this time, you should know the Holy Spirit. You should have a communion with the Holy Spirit. Now, what is communion? Because that word usually confuses us. What is communion? The communion of the Holy Spirit. If you can write down these synonyms, that will help you better understand the communion. Now, I'm not talking about the Holy Ghost. So you really need to pay more attention. Because this is actually the purpose of the service. Amen? Hallelujah. What is communion? Number one, fellowship. 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 Number two, companionship. Companionship. Number three, partnership. Partnership. Number four, friendship. Number five, relationship. Number seven, Number six, participation. Participation. Now, what is number one? Number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. So if you use those synonyms, you will start understanding what the verse is saying. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the friendship of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the companionship of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the partnership. Is the verse beginning to make sense to you little by little? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the relationship with the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the participation of the Holy Spirit. Which one did I omit there? Fellowship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship with the Holy Spirit. That's what it means. When you start talking about the Holy Spirit, it's not just some verse you are now reading or some words you are hearing. It's a relationship. It's a partnership. It's a friendship. It's a fellowship. Are you with me, people of God? So now you realize that what Paul was trying to tell us was that when it comes to the Holy Ghost, it's not, okay, be God for me. Go stand there, be God. Be Jesus. Just there, by the line there. Look at me. Turn to me. Yeah. So you be in the middle. You be in the middle there. Yes, and you also turn to me. That's right. Then you be the Holy Spirit. You stand here. Praise the Lord. You look at me, turn to me. So, you see, when it comes to God, He's far over there. You understand? The Lord Most High. Hey, my God, Jesus Christ. Is it Most High? You can't just joke. Do you get it? So he's there. Jesus. Okay. All of you go stand there. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. No, stay where you are. Come, Jesus. Stand here. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, come, Holy Spirit. Kurawa shantara mandara.
And here am I, a human being. I'm trying to relate with God. Oh God, I want to see you. I want to touch you. And all God says, let there be light. Oh, thank you, Lord, there's light. But you can't see him. You die immediately. So he decides he's going to come a bit closer. He's going to become flesh. And he's going to come around so that you can touch him, you can see him, you can talk to him. So Jesus, come. So Jesus, come. And then you stop there. Stop. Now, it's God. But he has come in a second form, which is the one you can touch. You can hear. If he's breathing, you can feel the air. And God gave him the name Jesus, Savior. So he came to save us. God came as a Savior. He was there. He was there. But he came, the same God, but he came a bit closer in another form. So you can relate with, you can touch, you can talk, and all of that. Do you understand? And that's Jesus. Problem about this is that he couldn't stay for a long time. For the little time he was with us, oh, we enjoyed him. We had fun with him. We saw powerful things going on. But he couldn't stay for a long time. So he started saying, guys, you know what? I know we're enjoying each other. But every time you go away, there's going to be a going away. And you're going to feel sad. But don't worry. I'm going to send another of the same kind. Allos Paracletos. Eh? You're going to see it just now. Allos Paracletos. Say with me, Allos Paracletos. It means another of the same kind. Another helper of the same kind. So Jesus was our helper, but he needed to go. But before he left, he says, you know what? I'm going to do it even better. I'm not going to send one who will be with you. I'm going to send one who will be in you. He will. Now, before I was a bit far, then I came a bit close. But now I'm going to do something that will shock you. I'm going to enter the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Ghost came. And the Holy Ghost came. The Holy Ghost passed Jesus. And the Holy Ghost enters us. Then we talk about communion. Because this one now is very close. Like it's here. We talk about friendship. We talk about relationship. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? This one, we talk, like it's more deeper now than these other two. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. That's why in the book of John 16, verse 7, look at what Jesus is saying. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Jesus, do you mean there's something better than you? He said, no, it's for your advantage. He says, if I don't go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Jesus himself says, it is advantageous for us that he goes away. Because if he goes away, the helper. What is helper in Greek? Just Paracletos. Allos means another. Another. I'm teaching you Greek. Free Greek this morning. Helper. Parakletos. Say it. You should know a bit of Greek this morning. International church, you are speaking a bit of Greek. A bit of Greek this morning. Hallelujah. Helper is Parakletos. P-A-R-A-K-L-E-T-O-S. Parakletos. Allos, A-L-L-O-S. Praise the Lord. Another helper. We're going to see that just in a minute. So Jesus says it's advantageous for us that he goes away. Therefore, who is the Holy Spirit? Who actually is the Holy Spirit? Listen to my statements well. I didn't say what is the Holy Spirit. Did you hear me well? I didn't say what is the Holy Spirit. What did I say? Who is the Holy Spirit? Let's start quickly. Number one, let me start by what? You see, for you to learn, sometimes it's good to use what something is not. What a person is not can help you know what he is. Number one, the Holy Ghost is not a dove. The Holy Ghost is not a dove. As a matter of fact, he only used the form of a dove in the case of Jesus. Now, don't get me wrong. The dove is a reflection or one of the manifestations of his character. That's why he used it. What does it mean, a dove? It means a lot of things, but usually bottom line, it means he's gentle. Is gentle. Unlike evil spirits, the Holy Spirit doesn't force his way on anyone. Satan is a master blaster. While he's talking, you are still thinking he's already going deeper. You don't even understand what's going on with you. The Holy Ghost is gentle. Doesn't force his way. He presents, you reject, he pulls out. Doesn't force anything on you. Very gentle. Very gentle. And that's why people that have grown in the Holy Ghost, you discover they become very gentle. Have you seen Benihin before? Very gentle. Very gentle. It means you don't use the force of the flesh. Manipulation. Intimidation. Confusion. Accusations. You don't use those things. When you have the Holy Ghost, you don't force things. You don't force people. No. When you start using this thing, you are using another power. You are not flowing with him. Gentleness means that, you see, you allow the process. Or 90% of all accidents are caused by impatience. It's just somebody is not gentle. It's not gentle. Bam, finish. Now, be it road accidents or life accidents, they are all caused by impatience. And you are not gentle with the thing. The child is a bit slow to bring the results you want, and you are not gentle. You start saying things you are not supposed to say, and life accidents start happening. Gentle. So when I'm gentle, it doesn't mean I'm weak. It means I'm using the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm using a higher power. I don't need to force things. I let God do it. Are you with me so far? Gentle. That's the dove. But it doesn't mean the Holy Ghost is a dove. No. Because the same gentle guy now will turn into fire just now. You understand? So he's not a dove. He just uses it as one of his manifestations.
Are you learning something?
Yes.
Number two, the Holy Ghost is not a wind.
Now, I know that when he came in the day of Pentecost, there was a rushing mighty wind. Yes, indeed, there is a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that is similar to the wind. All these things are to help you understand who he is. But it doesn't mean those things are him. Why is the Holy Ghost using the wind? Because the wind behaves like the Holy Ghost.
In which way? You are asking.
When the wind is blowing, you don't see the wind, right? But you see the leaves moving. Like you see things happening, but you don't see what is making those things to happen. But you can see that things are shaking in the place. But you cannot see the force that is causing all those things to be shaking the way they are shaking. That's exactly how the Holy Ghost is. When the Holy Ghost is working somewhere, you will not see the Holy Ghost, but you will see the effect of his presence. You will see the effect and the manifestation of his presence in the life of a person. You will see, no. Something is going on here. Something is going on. I don't know what it is, but you've changed. Why? Because I can see things, but I don't know what is causing those things.
The Holy Ghost. Am I helping you this morning?
Yes.
The Holy Ghost. Number three, the Holy Ghost is not the fire. Even though he has fire, it's a manifestation of his character. His presence consumes things. It burns them. It melts them. When the Holy Ghost is really somewhere, a lot of things are going to change. Why? Because, brother, wherever fire is,
things will remain the same.
Never. It's highly impossible.
Wherever there is fire, there will be what? Change. So a manifestation of the Holy Ghost as a fire is because he imposes change. His presence is going to bring change.
So when a person says, I have the Holy Ghost, but you look at the life of a person, there is no change. I said, you're asking yourself, which Holy Ghost are we talking about? Which Holy Ghost are we talking about? Because the Holy Spirit brings change. Just like fire cannot be somewhere and there's no change. I mean, things will burn, things will change shape. I mean, if you put fire where there's a plastic bottle next to fire, the plastic bottle will start readjusting itself all by itself. You put even metal where there's fire, metal will melt.
Appreciate fire better in cremation. Yeah, I know black people, we don't believe much in cremation. Cremation means you don't bury the body, you burn the body. I tell you, a whole human being, head to toe, including the coffin. Yes. Real cremation will burn you with your coffin. I mean, who are we giving your coffin to? Who's going to inherit the coffin? Do you have to, the coffin. Yeah. In some countries, they burn you overnight from 6 to 6. 6 a.m. in the morning, they come to collect the remain. Little powder left. And do you know what it looks like? Okay. Have you seen sand that you mix with oil? It's like if you take sand and you mix with a bit of oil. That's how it becomes. A handful from this whole being, the fire reduces it. If you keep burning it, even that thing will disappear. So the Holy Ghost's presence burns things. It will burn bad habits. It will burn sin from you. If you let the Holy Ghost fire enter you well, it will burn evil spirits on the inside of you. You will feel heat, real heat. You will feel you are hot inside. Sometimes when the power of the Holy Ghost increases, people that have demons can't stay. It's either you stay, the demon leaves, or you go out with the demon. Are you with me? The Holy Ghost is not fire, but he has fire. So we call it Holy Ghost fire. Somebody is blessed here.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we are out of time. Can you believe it? And I've just started talking about the Holy Ghost. Somebody said I should preach. I don't know. I don't know if I should listen to that advice or I should just. My mayor at the door hasn't said anything, so I think maybe. Praise the Lord. Are you help? Are you help with what I'm trying to show you? The Holy Spirit, the communion with the Holy Ghost, he's the closest nature of God God has given you. So you should know who he is. Do you get it? Should know who he is. So, what did I say? He's not what? He's not what? He's not what? He's not, there is not anointing oil. He is not anointing oil. He travels through anointing oil, but he is not anointing oil. Okay, if the Holy Ghost is anointing oil, after the service, let us all go and buy Holy Ghost a spa. Let's all go to spa and buy some Holy Ghost for ourselves. Who has 75 rand? Let's go and buy. Holy Ghost is 75 rand. I mean, you are saying that the Holy Ghost, anointing oil is the Holy Ghost. So let's go to spa. How come you're having all these problems? Let's go to spa, buy a Holy Ghost. Go buy Holy Ghost to spa. The Holy Ghost is not oil. I think this is a good teaching. I'm giving you a very good and balanced teaching. Yeah. He's not oil. But why is oil involved with the Holy Ghost? Because it's a conduit. Oil is a conduit for the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? Remember that the Holy Ghost is power. And power travels. So, you see, for example, we have electricity here. This electricity doesn't come from Kalanyoni. I hope you realize that. No. It's coming from where? I think Adam Mahalis or Haltibiers, where we have the dams. Do you understand? But it is transmitted to us here in Kalanyoni through a conduit called a cable. Electric cable. Electric cables are known to conduct power. Like power can go from point A to point B using this. If you put a stick, it will not conduit it. It has to be the authorized channel of conduct. So for power, you can't come and say, no, me, I don't want to use cables. I want to use the sticks behind my house and let me have some power. You will never have power. You have to use what is authorized. The cables. Now, God has also chosen which way through which his power can reach you. One of the ways through which his power can reach you through laying on of hands. If hands are laid on you, power can enter you through that. Oh! That's why we have what we call the laying on of hands. Because through the laying on of hands, you can receive power. You must never miss an opportunity to have hands laid on you. And you must also be careful who lays hands on you. So somebody can lay hands on you, because through the laying on of hands, power can be transferred. Therefore, through the laying on of hands, power can be stolen. So you can have power and I don't have power, and I lay hands on you and I take the power that you had, and you become powerless. You become powerless. Another way through which power is transferred, through sexual acts. Satanists use it a lot. For those of other acts, I mean, why shouldn't I enjoy myself? What you don't realize is that those are ways of transference of possibilities. So once you are busy there, what you don't realize is that either you are taking power or power has been taken from you. I think I should close this thing. I don't think that you guys are not enjoying this thing I'm talking about here. I'm telling you the ways of transmission. A lot of Satanists, they will tell you, when they want to do power transfer, they perform sexual rites, all these things. Because they know there's a transmission of power. And there can be transmission of a lot of other things. Experiences, evil spirits, whatever I carry becomes yours, whatever you carry becomes mine. Because the two become one. So whatever I have, you take. Whatever you have, I take. And that is where all the complications of life starts. You end up with something you don't know where it's coming from. You check your whole family, nobody has it. But there's some brother. You even forgot him. You've had so many, you can't remember. But there was a particular one through which the transmission was perfected. You are being delivered from every transmission that is of the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's why God says, wait for the right person. Wait for the authorized channel. You guys don't like the message again, you see now. You are enjoying the Holy Spirit now. I'm talking about it. You are enjoying. That's Pastor, stick with the Holy Spirit. You are diverting the message. Stick with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. That's the message I'm talking about here. I haven't changed the subject. I say I haven't changed the subject. I'm still on the same subject. Another way to transmit power is oil. That oil you see there like that is a conduit. Yeah. We use it in the religious things we do because God instituted it. He told Aaron, he told Moses, do this, take this pass, and concoct the anointing oil and anoint Moses. Anoint Aaron and his sons. And it started there. From that moment, forever, the anointing oil is being used to transmit possibilities, to transmit power. Praise the Lord forevermore. So, you see, the anointing oil is not the Holy Ghost, but it is a conduit. Another thing, that the Holy Ghost is not holy water. Holy water is a conduit. Then lastly, the Holy Ghost is not tongues. Sir, this is a good teaching. The Holy Spirit is not tongues. He gives tongues, but he is not tongues. Why am I saying this to you? David is saying to God, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Did you ever hear that David spoke in tongues before in your life? Huh? I never heard that David spoke in tongues. Okay, the Holy Ghost came on Samson. Samson even carried gates. But did you ever hear that Samson spoke in tongues? So it's Today in our time, in our generation, the manifestation or the evidence that he has chosen is that because, I have so many things to say. But let me say it this way. In the Old Testament, not everybody could have the Holy Spirit. Do you understand? No. Only three groups had access to the Holy Ghost. Number one, the priest. Number two, the prophet. Number three, the king. Only three. So if you go to a country, only three people had the Holy Ghost. Only three people. The high priest. Not even the priest, the high priest. Then if there is a prophet there, that prophet will have the Holy Spirit. And if there is a king, the king will have the Holy Spirit. I will teach you about this next week when I teach you on the Holy Spirit and me. But God gave a prophecy through Joel in the book of Joel 2 verse 28. He said, it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. You know why? Because until this prophecy, the spirit was not on all flesh. The spirit was on selected flesh. Selected flesh. So God didn't need to prove he is there. I mean, you will see he is there because he's not everywhere. You will see in the wisdom that the person is going to start operating with, or you will see in the power. I mean, you will just see something that will prove to you, no, I think God is here now. But now that he's pouring it on all flesh, he needs something that becomes like the common denominator. When you see this, you know he's there. Do you understand? So he chose that he's going to do it. You see, as soon as he pours the spirit, the next thing you do, you speak, prophesy. So the manifestation on all flesh is that he needed to give us something to say. To now know that, oh, he's also now here. Oh, he's also there. Oh, he's also there. Oh, he's also there. I mean, he can't do that using power, lifting gates. Then all the houses will be destroyed, because when he poured the Holy Ghost on all of us, we all just go try to use it, try to check if we have it. Then we just go out there. I mean, imagine 10 Samsons here. So we all say, okay, I think we have, guys, I think I have the, I also think I have the, okay, now what are we going to do? Okay, there's a house there, let's go try. Then you just go to a house, you start lifting the walls, you see. So he needed something that is more understandable and easy to flow with. So he chose tongues. Tongues. So it's like an evidence that he's there in the last days. But the evidence that I'm there doesn't mean that's me. You are hearing me talk right now. If I'm outside and I start speaking, you say, oh, pastor is around. Why? Because you are hearing my voice. But there are people that lost their voice. Did they die? So they don't have a voice, but they are still around. Do you get it? So it is just an evidence that I'm there. But it doesn't mean that's me. The tongues is not me. It's just to say I'm there. Praise the Lord. So now you know what the Holy Ghost is not. Please give me 2 minutes to tell you what he is. I will just tell you one. The Holy Ghost is a person. Woo. He is a person. Holy Ghost, stand up, Holy Ghost. Oh, yes. If you meet Mama B or Sis B, I don't know how you prefer calling her. If you meet her, will you say you met a spirit? You will say you met a person. Why will you say that? Okay, you see the shape, you see the hair, you see the beautiful eyes, you see the nose, you see the mouth,
You see everything and you will say, I met her. But can I shock you this morning? This is not what we use to know that this is a person. That's not what you use to know that this is a person. No. If that is what is needed to show that it's a person, so if I create a robot here now and I put clothes and I know you are seeing hands, you are seeing eyes, you are seeing things. So you, if I ask, what did you see? You say, no, I saw somebody. Will you say that? Uh-huh. You will say you saw a robot. Even though you are seeing hands, you are seeing, because that's, we don't use this to say that somebody is a person. The type of things you guys are learning here, and when you took at the type of offering you even gave, you are even asking yourself that, what is wrong with me? The type of offering I'm giving and the type of teachings I'm getting. You are being blessed in the name of Jesus. Take your seat. What do we use to say that somebody is a person? We use three things. Number one, the will. The will. What is the will? The ability to decide, make a decision. That's what is used. But this is a person. A person. We use the will. Not the eyes, not the nose. There are people without eyes, but would you say there are no people? There are people. Nick from Australia doesn't have lips, but he's a person. You will never say that you saw a creature. You saw a person. He's very intelligent. He has met people that we might never meet in our whole lifetime. Yet he doesn't have legs, he doesn't have hands. So what do we use to say you are a person? We use something called the will, W-I-L-L. The will. Number two, intelligence or the mind. Number three, emotions. If those three things are present, we say that that's a person. That's a person. That's why, in my opinion, abortion is a sin. Why? Because, you see, that even though the things are still in a very small form, but those three things are inside that thing that you want to destroy. They are there. They are all there. They are all there. How do you know this? Because when the baby starts kicking inside, did you ask him to kick? He decided to kick, and he started kicking. And then there are times you say, oh, come and see, the baby is kicking. And then he refuses to kick. When you want to show people the kick, he chooses not to kick. Then you can see that the guy has a will. He's actually engaging his mind already. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed? So the things we use to say that this is a person are three. Number one is what? Number two. Number three. The emotions. If you have these three things, you are a person. You are a person. So when we say that the Holy Ghost is a person, have you seen the Holy Ghost standing here talking to us? But why do we say he's a person? Because he has those three things. He has those three things. That's the only thing I'm going to show you. Then we're going to close. That you have to go to YouTube. The whole message is there. I'm giving three important reasons why the Holy Ghost, I mean, that who is the Holy Ghost? Amen? A will. Let's look at it quickly. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So it's not some robot just doing some automated movements. No. He has a will. Look at the NLT of the version. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gifts each person should have.
So he has a will. He decides that you will be a singer, you will be a dancer, you will have this gift of prophecy, you will have the gift of teaching. I didn't choose to have the gift of teaching. He decided that you will have the gift of teaching. And everybody here, the Holy Ghost has already decided which gift he wants you to have. So he has a will. He has a will. He decides. So once you have a will and you can decide, we say you are a person. You are a person. Which means the Holy Ghost is not somebody you can come and press 1, 2, 3 and then he start doing things for you. You can come and falsify 3 prayers and then he start doing things for you. No, he has a will. He can decide that no matter what you do, I will not do this. He has a will. He has a will. Let me give you just one. We're out of time. He has emotions. Meaning he can feel. He can feel. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve. NLT it. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Do not bring sorrow to who? To the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can experience sorrow. Sorrow is an emotion. By the way I live, I can really grieve the Holy Ghost. I can hurt the Holy Ghost. My behavior can hurt the Holy Spirit. Look at it. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The way I live my life can bring sorrow to the Holy Ghost. I thought he's just a spirit most. No. He's a person. He's a person. He feels things. And I want to give you a little tip for you to know that you are beginning to bring sorrow to him. You wake up in the morning, you had your nice devotion, and by the way, you should have your devotions every morning. You should read your Bible. You should pray. Those things help you have a better communion, fellowship, partnership, participation with the Holy Ghost. But now you started your day so well and you can feel joy. How many of you, you woke up and you just, everything is nice. Like my day is going so well today. Like I feel if I die, I will go to heaven. How many of you have felt another? Like there's a particular day where you feel, today I'm really nice. Like honestly, I feel nice. Like everything is nice. Even if I die now, I can feel, straight. No detour or no, just straight. Then along the day, you just start feeling like you are no more so nice. You start feeling funny. Like, hey, what's going on? And you can't pinpoint, what did I do wrong? But I'm not at peace. You know what is happening to you? The Holy Ghost is beginning to communicate to you. Something is not right. Something is not right. Something is not right. Something is not right. He's trying to tell you, I'm no more very happy. But you are not aware because he is not physically standing there talking to you. But he makes you feel it. He makes you feel that, hey, what's wrong? Like I'm not... Something is wrong. He's communicating to you. Hey, be a bit careful. We are beginning to lose contact with each other. Based on what you've been saying or what you've been doing or what has been going on, the way you've been living is already beginning to affect this contact. So when you are sensitive in the spirit, you will quickly pick it. And you will, hey, Holy Ghost, why did I miss it? You don't even need to say it. You just need to think because your thoughts are words and unspoken words. He starts relating with you through thoughts. And if you are very sensitive, he will show you. See, when you were talking to that guy, you were a bit rude. And I didn't like that. He said, oh, Holy Ghost, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. And then the peace returns. just continue. But when you are insensitive in the Holy Ghost, you will start feeling those promptings, but you'll just continue. And it's getting louder and louder, and you are getting more and more agitated. But you know what you are doing? Can I show you what you are doing? Can I show you what you are doing? Can I show you what you are doing? Acts 7 verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart, you always do what? Resist the Holy Spirit. So you have entered the stage where you are now resisting Him. You can hear what He's saying. You can feel what He's trying to communicate, but you are not interested. You are resisting Him. You are resisting His influence. You are resisting what He's trying to do. How many times you can hear Him say, you are on the wrong path. It's wrong. Where you are going is wrong. But you are resisting the voice. That's how the communion is being affected, because He is trying to communicate, but you are just not interested. He's saying something is going off. You haven't prayed for a while. You are no more in the Word. I'm busy. I'm very busy. You should understand, Holy Ghost. You should understand. I don't have time. Hey, we are losing each other. We are losing each other. Remember, I'm your friend. Remember, I'm your companion. I'm your helper. I'm supposed to be near you. But the way you are behaving now is pushing me away. Hey. And we begin to resist Him. We begin to resist Him. We begin to resist Him. And you can feel that He is grieving on the inside of you. You are sad, but there's nothing sad. There's nothing that should make you sad, but you are sad. You know why you are sad? Because you are not sad. He is sad. He is sad in you. And He's trying to communicate His sadness through your emotions just so that you can feel, I think something is wrong. I've missed it. I did something wrong. Or I said something wrong. But you will not stop. You just continue. So He says, you have now entered a stage of resistance. And you just need to stay on that stage a little longer. It goes worse. You reach the last stage. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19. You quench Him. That's the last stage. It says, do not quench the Holy Spirit. When you quench Him, you silence Him. Completely. He's now silent. You have taken a bandage. You have put in His mouth. Holy Ghost, stop talking. And then you have moved the bandage to His eyes. Holy Ghost, stop seeing. Then you have moved the bandage to His ears. Holy Ghost, stop hearing. Mercy. Holy Ghost, stop talking. Say, I'm supposed to be your friend. Hey, stop talking. I'm going to do this. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm your partner. Remember what Jesus says? It's advantageous that I come, but you are not allowing me to. Hey, I say stop. I say, oh, you know I'm gentle. I can't force myself. So I'm going to withdraw. And when He withdraws, you've quenched Him. If Paul says do not quench the Holy Spirit, because you can quench the Holy Spirit. You can actually do things that will quench Him. To quench means you silence, you stifle a person. You put something... They shouldn't talk anymore. They should be quiet. And being the gentleman that He is, He will take whatever position you have given Him and He will stay there. Do you know how grievous it is to know you can help a person, but the person is not allowing you to help them. And the person is going to destruction. Your hands are tied. You are watching all of it happen, but you can do nothing. Reminds me of the civil war in Liberia, where the rebels will come and enter a house, take the whole family hostage, tie up the father, tie up the mother, take the firstborn, lay him flat, cut one leg. The parents, they make you watch. They make you watch. A child you raise, send to school, they cut the leg in front of you. Then they cut the second leg. And they make you watch the whole, they cut the hand, they cut the other hand, your son. Imagine the torture that it does to a parent to see your daughter being raped in front of you like that. Or her neck being cut. You see, that's what happens to the Holy Ghost when he has to watch Satan molest you. Simply because you told him to shut up. You told him to not get involved. You quenched him, you silenced him, you resisted him, you grieved him. And he just takes a side chair. But he has to watch because Jesus says he shall be with you forever. He can't go anywhere. He's there. He's there. And he observes all these things happen. Praise the Lord forever. He is not a robot. He's a person. He feels. He feels. And you and I, even though I focus a bit more on the wrong things, but you should understand, I'm trying to show you that you and him can develop a genuine communion. Oh, my precious people, as I close, remember the prayer of David. Man, when David messed up and he knew it's over, David forgot about the throne. David forgot about his wife. David forgot about his children. David forgot about everything. He just remembered one thing. He said, Lord, you know something, man? I don't know what you're about to do to me. I don't know what you're going to do, but please, please, do not take. You can take the throne. You can take my wife. You can take the children. You can take everything. Please. Please. Don't take the Holy Spirit. I think better than anybody, David understood the Holy Spirit. Oh, he understood who is this guy. Like, he understood who is there. He said, you know what? I know there's going to be repercussions for what I did. I slept with another man's wife. I killed a man. I've even impregnated the wife. I've done a lot of bad things. And I know fire is coming. But I'm begging for one thing. Just one prayer, please. Don't take the Holy Spirit from you. Cast me not away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit. Please. Take the money. Take the house. Take the car. Take the job. Take everything. But please, please, I'm begging you, please. Please. I'm nothing without the Holy Ghost. Like, it's, if you take the Holy Ghost, it's game over for real. I mean, like, now it's game over. I'm done. I'm done. But if you can leave the Holy Ghost in me, take everything. The Holy Ghost is my helper. Allos Parakletos. He will bring it back. Stand on your feet, please.
Come on, won't you lift up your hands and begin to pray and say, Lord, do not cast away your spirit from me. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice. Begin to pray to the Lord and pray that, Lord, do not cast me from your presence. Do not take your spirit away from me. Somebody lift up your voice and begin to pray. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, do not cast us away from your presence, oh God. Do not take your spirit away from us, oh God. Somebody, that is your cry this afternoon. That is your cry. Lord, do not take your spirit away from me. Do not cast me away, Lord, from your presence. Do not cast me away from your presence, oh God. Oh, Father, we are standing before you this afternoon and we are praying just like David prayed. Lord, when he messed up, oh God, when he went off course, he came to you and said, Lord, I cry out for your spirit. Is anybody here that wants to cry out for the spirit and say, Lord, I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 11 that if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts, how much more will the Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit if you ask? Somebody begin to lift up your hands and say, Lord, I'm asking for your spirit this afternoon. I'm asking for your spirit. Come on, lift up your voice. Lift up your voice. Say, Lord, I'm asking for your spirit. Lord, I'm asking for your spirit. Lord, I'm asking for your spirit. I'm asking for your presence, the presence of the Holy Ghost, oh God. Father, just like Moses said, that if your presence, if the Holy Ghost does not come with us, we refuse to take a step further, oh God. Oh, Father, we are praying for an infilling of the Holy Spirit this afternoon. We are praying for an infilling of the Holy Spirit this afternoon, oh God. Just as you said in the book of Joel 2 verse 28, that in the last days you shall pour out your spirit on all flesh. Father, we have lifted up our hands this afternoon and we are saying, Lord, pour out your spirit upon us. Pour out your spirit upon me this afternoon. Pour out your spirit upon me this afternoon, oh God. Pour out your spirit upon me this afternoon, oh God. Pour out your spirit upon me this afternoon, oh God. I'm ready to receive the Holy Ghost. I'm ready to receive the Holy Ghost in my life. I'm ready to receive the Holy Ghost in my life. Oh, Holy Ghost, wherever I quenched you, the Bible says, do not quench the Holy Ghost. Do not quench him. Oh, Holy Spirit, I want to ask for forgiveness. I want to ask for forgiveness, oh Holy Spirit. If I've ever grieved you, oh Holy Ghost, and that has caused you to leave me, oh Holy Ghost, this afternoon I'm crying out and I'm saying, Holy Ghost, forgive me. Holy Ghost, forgive me. Holy Ghost, forgive me. Holy Ghost, forgive me. And come and fill me again, Holy Spirit. Come and fill me again, oh Holy Spirit. Come and fill me again, oh Holy Spirit. I want to fill you again. I want to be led by you again. I want to be led by you again, Holy Spirit. I want to feel your help again. I want to feel your direction again, oh Holy Ghost. Oh Holy Ghost, come back into my life. Oh Holy Ghost, come back into my life. Come and fill me, oh Holy Ghost. Come and fill me, oh Holy Ghost. Come and fill me this afternoon. My heart is open, oh Holy Ghost. My heart is open, Holy Spirit. My heart is open, oh Holy Spirit. Oh, come and fill me again. Come and fill me again, oh Holy Spirit. The Bible says in Psalm 139 verse 7, where shall I go from your presence? And where shall I go from your spirit, O God? If I shall enter heaven, your spirit is there. If I shall make my bed in hell, behold, you are also there. Oh, Holy Spirit, come into my life. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' precious name. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, this is a very sacred and special moment. The Holy Ghost is here right now. And the Holy Ghost wants to come into your life once again. The Holy Ghost wants to fill your life once again. The Holy Ghost wants to take charge of your life once again. If you are here this afternoon, maybe you are invited by somebody today, and you are saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to live a life that is led by the Holy Spirit. I want to give you an opportunity right now. I'm going to count up to three. And as soon as I reach three, I want you to lift up your right hand boldly. And I'm going to pray with you. One, two, 3, lift up your right hand if that is you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you. God bless you. You can drop your hands. If maybe you are also here, you've received the Holy Spirit. You felt Him before. You've been led by Him before. You know how it is to have the presence of the Holy Ghost in your life. But maybe you feel that you lost Him along the way. Maybe you grieved Him along the way. Maybe you quenched Him along the way. This afternoon He's saying, I am here again. And I want to fill your heart again. I want to fill your mind again. If you are here like that, you are saying, I want the Holy Spirit again in my life. I want His indwelling. I want His touch again. As I count up to three, I also want you to lift up your right hand. And I'm going to pray with you. One, two, three. Lift up your right hand if there is you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see your hand. 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 Lift it up boldly. I see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, if you lifted up your hand for the first and second altar call, I want you right now to do one more thing for me. I want you to come to the front, and we are going to pray this prayer together. Church, as they come to the front, let's encourage them. Let's encourage them as they come. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Come on, if you want an infilling of the Holy Spirit, just come to the front. Even if you didn't raise up your hand, but you say, I want the Holy Ghost, you can still come. You can still come. You can still come. You can still come. He's here. He's here. He's here. You can still come. You can still come. Church, let's encourage them. You can still come. You want an infilling of the Holy Ghost. You can still come. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up both your hands right now. I want you to pray this prayer, and I want you to mean it from your heart. This is a prayer between you and the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm here. As we learn that He's a gentle being, you need to allow Him in your life. You are here today. You want to receive Him. Lift up both your hands, and I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life to You today. Please forgive me my sins. Wash me with Your blood. I believe that You died for me. And on the third day You rose again, that I might be justified. Right now, I believe that my sins are forgiven, that I am saved, I am restored, I am born again, I am free from the power of sin to serve the living God. Thank You, Jesus, for receiving me, for restoring me, and for saving me. Holy Ghost, this afternoon, I ask that You fill me again. Holy Ghost, this afternoon, I ask that You lead me again. Holy Ghost, this afternoon, I ask that You take charge again. Oh, Holy Ghost, I cry out this afternoon, may You come into my life again. May we build a relationship again. May You guide me again. May You fill me again. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to pray, Lord, for an infilling of Your Spirit this afternoon. You said in Your word that afterward You shall pour out Your Spirit. Father, as we are here this afternoon, we have lifted up our hands, we have opened our hearts, and we have yielded to You, O God. And we are saying, Lord, fill us again. Fill us again. We are desperate for You. Fill us again, O Holy Ghost. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray, O Father, that each and every person that is here, Lord, may You write their names permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed and we have worshipped.